in our verses this evening. We're going to look at some verses from Ephesians chapter 1. Do turn there if you've got a Bible. There's some at the back if you'd like to get one. Ephesians chapter 1, it's a wonderful letter filled with the glorious truth about the Lord and the grace that he shows us how we should respond to it. And tonight we're just going to look at verses 15 to 17. But if you look at the start of verse 15, it says, "For this reason." And it kind of, we need to know what he's just been saying in order to kind of get the full picture. So I want to read from verse 3 today, just to get the context of this chapter, because it is so rich and powerful, filled with gospel truth. It's really encouraging as we come together. So let me read from verse 3 of Ephesians chapter 1. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and understanding, he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession, to the praise of his glory. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." These are really rich verses, aren't they, that you could spend years studying them, and it's well worth going back this week and praying through them and looking at them and just applying them to your hearts. But we're just going to focus on those last few verses there, verses 15 through to 17, looking at what Paul prays for the people that he's writing to in Ephesus, and see what we should be praying for each other perhaps as we come to 2024. First thing we see is him giving thanks for their faith and love. He sets the example, doesn't he? He never stops giving thanks. He is always remembering in his prayers. I think that's just, it's a good example for us to be looking at, a good example for us to be following. Is that what we're known for? Always praying. Never stopping giving thanks. I know myself can be a bit of a glass half empty sort of person. And it's easy to not always give thanks. But Paul's always giving thanks. And why is he thankful? He's thankful because he has heard of their faith in the Lord Jesus and their love for all of God's people. You see, we've just read, haven't we, how he's unpacked all of these amazing acts of God and how he has saved us. And he is so thankful that they have put their trust in the Lord Jesus, that they are relying on his provision, that they're living for him in the midst of a world that is so often against God. We read about the church in Ephesus, didn't we, as we looked at the seven churches in Revelation. It was one of those seven. It was a hard place to be a believer. And Paul is giving thanks because they have put their trust in the Lord's. And really, that is so foundational, isn't it? It's foundational to everything, is faith in Jesus. We should never be moving on from that reality that we're saved by grace. Grace alone, by faith alone, by Jesus alone. And we trust him who died for us and rescued us and made us new. It's the foundation of everything. On our own, that we have no hope. But that in Jesus, with Jesus, we have that certain hope. We put our trust in him. And I think that's just helpful, isn't it? To bring to mind at the end of the year, that our faith should never move on from just trusting Jesus, that simple humility that said, I can't do it on my own. I need you, Lord. I need you. It's good to remember as we make New Year's resolutions, isn't it? Oh, I can do this. I can do better. I can do this. Actually, we need to come to Jesus and go, no, you've done all that we need. I always need your help, Lord. And if you're not a believer here this evening, there's something for you to think about. What are you putting your faith in? Does it really hold up under the pressure of life? He gives thanks for their faith. But there's an and, isn't there? He gives faith for their faith and love. It's kind of naturally moving from one to the next. Their love for all of God's people. Lots of things seem to go together really well, don't they? Salt and pepper, fish and chips, ant and deck, cheese and crackers, if you're still using up the cheese, the Christmas cheese like we are. It's the same thing with faith and love. They go together, one leads to the next really nicely. And it makes sense, doesn't it? If someone who has been, if their life has been changed by faith, then they will love. That's often the way, isn't it? When someone is passionate about something, it's because of something significant that has happened to them. Sometimes it can be something negative, like someone is hit by a car, and so their family responds by campaigning for road safety. It kind of changes their perspective. Sometimes it's positive. Imagine you were in trouble at sea, and a lifeboat rescued you and pulled you out and brought you to safety. You'd be really passionate, wouldn't you, about raising money for the RNLI. You'd want to kind of sing their praises. It's sort of one thing that leads to another. And that's kind of how it works with faith and with love. If we grasp faith, if we understand what God has done for us, we understand his love for us, all he has done in saving us. We've read about it in those verses before these. It's life-changing. It is transformative. Knowing that we are safe, knowing that we are forgiven, knowing that we're part of God's loving family. If we've been shown such love, then that leads us to love others in that way. It's that kind of passionate response to the love of God. And that's a challenge for us, isn't it? Do we love people like that? And you see, it says love all God's people. Not just the people we get on with, not just people we kind of click with, but every believer, everyone. Without any discrimination, without any judgments, we're called to love. We're called to accept each other, to welcome each other because of the acceptance and the welcome that God has given us. That's something really good, isn't it? To pray for each other. As we come to the end of the year, as we start a new one, pray that we would be growing in our faith, growing in our love, but also just giving thanks for the faith that we do have, giving thanks for the love that we have as a church family. These are things that we can rejoice over as well. And there's a call for us to always be thankful, always be praying about these things as we look at what Paul says. And then the second thing we see is how he always asks for them to know God better. Look at verse 17 again. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Again, Paul doesn't just ask once, does he? Sometimes we just pray for something once. No, he's always keeps asking God. He keeps asking the glorious Father. What a wonderful phrase that is to think about, isn't it? That it kind of links together the majesty, the glory, the holiness of God, and also his love and his care and his compassion as a father. The glorious Father, we can come to him, and he is strong and mighty and powerful to answer our prayers. And he asks for their spirit of wisdom and knowledge. He's praying that these Christians would grow in maturity, that they would be rooted in the knowledge of God. Trusting the Holy Spirit would reveal more of these things in their lives. Praying for true wisdom. That's kind of knowing the truth about God. That's growing in our faith, growing in our love. That's trusting him in all situations. Even in the hard moments of life, even when things are really tough, finding that unshakable faith that comes of knowing God really deeply and clearly. It talks about revelation, a word that kind of means uncovering, unveiling something. You know, I put that picture up because every now and then you hear of a new submarine, don't you, that can go even deeper down into the sea. than ever before, and the cameras kind of come back up, and there's all these weird looking fish that no one's ever seen before, and they're just kind of scuttling around on the seabed and all that sort of thing. This new revelation, new unveiling of these deep places. Well, our knowledge of God is kind of similar to that, but even deeper, because we can never finish kind of plumbing the depths of who God is, of what he has done. There's always more we can learn about him. There's always more we can grasp of his love, of his care for us. And that's what Paul's praying for. He's praying that we would have that kind of spirit of revelation, that we'd see more and more of God, that we would grow in our knowledge of him, that we'd keep being surprised by his love for us, that we'd keep being amazed by the depths of his mercy, the depths of his glory, the depths of his grace. There's a lot of benefit, isn't there, in knowing God better. It's not just an academic thing. It's a deep down relational thing. It's a relationship with God. We know him better. It's wonderful. It leads to wisdom. It leads us to kind of living out our faith more clearly, more strongly, more boldly. Maybe particularly when we come to some difficult moment in our lives, some trial, some hardship. If we know God deeply, we can continue to trust him. We continue to feel safe. We continue to have hope. And we can encourage each other in those hard moments because we know who God is. We know what he's done. We know what he's like. And we hold fast to God. Sometimes we might be struggling with a certain sin and we keep giving in and we keep struggling with it. Well, if we knew God more deeply, more closely, he would... The Spirit will equip us to fight our sin more strongly, to strive to live for him instead. Because we know what he's like. We know what he's done for us. We know him. We want to be like him. Maybe it's even just a simpler thing as growing in joyfulness at the start of a new year. Maybe seeing some new aspect of God's love. Seeing some new aspect of his character or his grace in Christ. And it just overwhelms you. You're filled with joy and thankfulness because of his love for you, because of what you know about him. It's a really good thing, isn't it, to be praying for that? That would be happening more and more as we go into 2024. Really good things. Giving thanks for each other's faith and love. Praying again and again that we would know God more closely so that we would be wise, so that we would see him as he is, so we would live for him more closely. I encourage you to just keep those things in mind. Maybe pray for each other in the year ahead. Pray these big prayers of Paul. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it, for us to be growing in these things. Let me pray. I'm going to pray for these things now. Loving Father, we thank you and we praise you again for the riches of your grace, for the amazing salvation plan which you carried out and how the Lord Jesus gave up his life to give us life. And Lord, we pray these prayers as Paul did, that we would give thanks for the faith and love of each other, that we'd be growing more closely in our faith, that we'd be growing in love this year, that you'd help us express it more clearly as it pours out of us, thanks to your love for us. And would you give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation? Would you help us know you more deeply, more strongly, more with more confidence, that we would know how secure we are in your arms. That whatever this year holds for us, we do not know, Lord. We don't know what this year ahead holds for us, but that we would be able to trust you in the midst of it, whatever happens, because we know you. We know you are for us. We know your love. We know that we're part of your family. We just ask, Lord Jesus, that you would be with us and help us be amazed every day at your greatness and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, our next song kind of helps us respond to that. Maybe lifting our eyes to Jesus and calling us to stand amazed in his presence.